Just want you to know that I am so very excited this morning to be sharing with you nothing less than the scripture that details the birth of Jesus Christ. We've kind of been indicating this throughout the service, but we believe that this is a time when we need to hear this incredible word of hope. And I know it may be a little bit of a challenge, but maybe since we're a little bit removed from the actual Christmas season, you'll be able to listen this morning with fresh ears, with open hearts. And what I want to encourage you to do this morning is to try to maybe even imagine yourselves as a character in this story, right? So we're going to think about the shepherds and the angels and Mary and Joseph, a new mom and dad. It's not quite Christmas, but we can still open our hearts to the gift of this Christmas message. So our reading is going to be from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, verses 1 through 20. The scripture is going to be on the screens behind me so you can follow along. Will you hear these words? So in those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to their own town to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And in that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, and they were keeping watch over their flock by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And then suddenly there's with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds then said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see the thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, I suppose it's kind of hard to imagine that we could hear these words as if trying to hear them for the first time with these fresh ears. But what I want you to know this morning is that even as I stand up here and say these words to you and read the scripture with you, I am overwhelmed by God's grace. I'm overwhelmed by God's love, by God's dramatic action on our behalf. We've been saying this throughout this service, that even though we are not currently in the Christmas season, we are in a season of life where we need to hear this Christmas story. Hurricane Michael has devastated our neighbors. Many of us have family and friends who are struggling to make it through the day-to-day, let alone figuring out their next best steps for the future. It's about 10 days until Election Day, and so these dehumanizing voices of hate and division and blame just seem to be on full blast all around us. We hear stories of pipe bombs in the mail, And just yesterday, we learned this horrifying news about the murder of our faithful Jewish sisters and brothers gathered to worship. There seems to be this growing tension just mounting around the globe. For our students and our young people whom we will welcome in our services today, there is pressure to obtain perfect grades, to find somehow that balance between academics, athletics, friendships, and faith. And somewhere in the midst of all of this, aren't we all simply trying to figure out who God is calling us to be, how God is calling us to respond? So we may not be in the Christmas season, but we are in an overwhelming season, and we need to be reminded of that grace-filled Christmas truth that God is with us, that God is walking with us through every season of our lives. And so this morning, in our time together, I'm not asking you to ignore all that might be overwhelming you. In fact, I want to encourage you to carry it with you. I want you to hold in your hearts your loved ones and all the things that concern you. Because as we consider this Christmas story, you know, all of those people we just heard about in the Gospel of Luke, those were real people. And they experienced real everyday life, just like you and me. They faced difficult circumstances. They struggled as much as anyone. And yet, they were also these witnesses to this incredible love that God showed us and showed the world when he gave us this precious gift of Jesus, the Messiah, this Savior born in Bethlehem. And what is remarkable about these characters is the way that they respond to God's gracious love. So let's take just a few moments this morning to think about these characters. I want to see which ones you identify with specifically, right? So maybe you connect with the shepherds. These are people who are literally and figuratively on the outside, likely those who are in deep need of a word of hope. Or perhaps you relate to the angels, those who are bursting with joy and want to share a word of peace. Or maybe you relate to Joseph and Mary, this holy family trying to be faithful and loving with their lives, even and especially when they find themselves overwhelmed by responsibilities and expectations. Like the shepherds and the angels and the holy family, we too get this opportunity to respond to the Christ child every single day. And in this particular season of life, we need the comfort and the hope, a call to action and to response. And taking time to consider how these people some 2,000 years ago responded to the Christ child can help us figure out how we might respond as well to this Savior who is offered to us all. So let's start with the shepherds. You know, it is extraordinary that God could have shared the news of this precious gift of salvation with anyone in the world. And of all people, God chose to share this news first with shepherds. Now for us, we're 2,000 years after these events, and the image of a shepherd is a fairly good one, right? We talk in the church about Jesus as being the good shepherd. We think about shepherds taking care of their sheep as this great analogy for God taking care of God's children. But 2,000 years ago, at least culturally speaking, shepherds were not exactly the most well-liked of people. They were seen as those who could not be trusted. They allowed their sheep to graze on other people's property. They were cast as dishonest and unreliable, just not the best people in the world. Shepherds were typically poor. They lived outside and were often homeless. They were isolated. They were people who lived a hard and difficult life, finding themselves more often than not on the margins of society. Yet these are the ones who first receive this life-altering, world-changing news that God is reaching out to humanity once again with love and grace and salvation. And how do these lonely, struggling outcasts of society respond? Well, they practically run to go and see the Holy Family. I love that as soon as the angels leave that scene on the hillside, you can just see these shepherds turning to each other and saying, let's go now. Let's go check out this thing that God has made known to us. When the good news of God's love for all people becomes known, these shepherds cannot help but respond. And I don't know about you, but for me, I find their faith incredibly inspiring. It is clear that the words of hope and salvation that the angels shared have changed these shepherds, have affected them, caused them to drop everything and to run with wild abandon toward all of that hope and all of that love. And maybe they were in deep need of the hope that the angels offered. Certainly, these marginalized, poor, powerless shepherds were people who needed to hear from God, people who needed something to hope in. And I wonder this day if any of us might be able to relate to these shepherds. I am certain that there are people we know who can relate to them, those who want to run toward all that love and hope and light of God. On the cover of your bulletin, you see a nativity set that was recovered from the wreckage and the muck of Hurricane Michael at the First United Methodist Church of Port St. Joe. And in that image, you get a sense of the destruction over which that nativity is now looking. And you know, this is but one image of our devastated panhandle, this area that some people call the Forgotten Coast. These neighbors of ours most certainly find themselves in a shepherd's season of life, in need of that audacious hope that can only come from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who loves us so very much that God actually comes down to earth, is born as a tiny baby, takes on this very vulnerable human form, actually becomes dependent even on us, and walks among us, experiences life as we experience it. And in moments such as the birth of Jesus, you know, God absolutely disrupts our daily ordinary lives with this eternal, extraordinary love. Doesn't this God offer us hope all along the panhandle, a much needed hope in the midst of such a despairing time? We may ourselves be isolated and lonely, anxious and fearful, looking for a way to recover from the hurricane, looking to mend a relationship in our lives that is broken, but we don't quite know how to heal, looking to speak words of peace and love in our nation that seems to be so divided and combative. For so many, life is hard right now, and we might connect to these shepherds because they remind us that somehow God's great, great love is available to all of us. Our God does not share the news first of the Christ child with those who are powerful or who have it all together. No, first God tells the shepherds, those who are the most broken, seemingly sinful and simple among us, that the Christ child is born to save, even and especially the vulnerable, the lost, and those with broken hearts and spirits. And as this Christ child grows up, this is who we come to know in Jesus, one who heals and empowers those who are poor and powerless and broken. And these shepherds, you know, they teach us how to respond to such extravagant love. They go immediately toward that love, but you know, once they see Mary and Joseph and Jesus, they don't linger too long. They return to their very hard and difficult lives, and yet they return changed. They return glorifying and praising God for all that they have seen and heard. And so today, friends, if you find yourself in a shepherd's season of life, I pray that even in the midst of great challenge, sadness, confusion, or searching, that you would be amazed and overwhelmed by the love of God. It's a love that can and will change you, a love that will not leave you where you are, but will call you to respond in faith and in hope. But you know, the shepherds are not the only ones in the Christmas story scripture, are they? So perhaps this morning you arrive filled with joy and excitement in your heart. You're ready to worship. You're ready to sing and encourage those who are around you. If you are full of joy and light and love this day, then maybe you can relate to the angels. I love, again, this scene in our scripture. It's an incredible one. In the midst of this sheer darkness for the shepherds, you can practically feel everything shift around them into this brilliant scene of light and joy and energy, as if the heavens just cannot contain the hope of the Christ child any longer, and something must be said, a song must be sung, joy has to be expressed. Now, if you are one who holds that level of joy in your interactions with others, it is my sincere prayer that when you approach them, they are not terrified, as we find out the shepherds are when the angels bring all that joy. But in fact, if you are a joy bringer this day, then you must know that you will indeed affect those who are around you. Joy truly is contagious. And as we read the words that the angels sing, we remember that another appropriate response to the Christ child is to praise God and to share our joy with others in a way that brings peace to this world. The angels remind us that it is faithful and important to embrace the joy in our lives and to share that joy with others. There are hope-seeking shepherds who need to hear from you, joy-filled angels. There are hurting people in this world, and the Christ child calls us to share our joy with those who are in pain, but also calls us to share in the work of peace for all. For the angels, their response is to offer that word of hope to those who need it most and to offer that challenge. Because you know, it is no small thing to proclaim peace for the people of God. 2,000 years ago, people faced an oppressive Roman Empire in which life was anything but peaceful, and in our own day, we only need look around us to know that there are people suffering from hunger, from loneliness, from racism, from hate crimes, from war and natural disasters, from desperate situations. And these joy-filled angels remind us that part of belonging to the joy of the birth of Christ means rolling up our sleeves and finding the courage and the strength to do the hard work of feeding the hungry, making ourselves available to the lonely, having difficult and honest conversations about racism and anti-Semitism and hate, bringing together and making whole those who are separated, collecting hygiene kits and cleaning buckets and traveling to hurricane-shattered areas to support those neighbors who need us the most. Friends, it's taking every ounce of our joy to work for peace in a war-torn world. My goodness, how we need the angels. So today, if you find yourself in an angel season of life, I pray that in the midst of your joy and hope, that you would be empowered by the love of God. It's a love that can and will change you, a love that will not leave you where you are, but will continue to call you to respond with the good and hard work of making peace in this world. And then finally today, perhaps you can relate to the Holy Family. Perhaps you come to church this day totally exhausted, weary, amazed that you made it on time. You're just thankful that you were even able to put on matching shoes this morning, so scattered our thoughts can be in the busyness of our lives. Our daily responsibilities, the expectations we place on ourselves and others, let alone balancing our needs with our concerns, with our panhandle community and our traumatized world, well, it can all be overwhelming, can't it? And the first part of the scripture today reminds us that back then, the responsibilities of life under Roman rule were no easy matter either. Here we have Mary and Joseph, along with thousands of other people who had to travel a great distance to basically pay their taxes and make sure that they were registered as citizens. And once they arrived in Bethlehem, they had to find a place to stay, settle in, be ready to attend to this civic responsibility. And oh, on top of all of that, Mary just happens to be on the brink of giving birth to their first child. How many of us can relate to the stress and anxiety we experience when we feel pulled in different directions, sometimes between getting ourselves up in the morning, moving through work or school successfully for the day, paying our bills, feeding ourselves, cleaning ourselves, trying to get to bed at a decent hour. We come away exhausted and utterly depleted. So what might Mary and Joseph have to teach us if we find ourselves in such a busy and frazzled state? Well, Scripture says that when the shepherds come to greet the family, you know, they share with Mary and Joseph all that they have seen and heard. And can you imagine their energy? I mean, here are a bunch of guys who just saw thousands of angels filling the sky and telling them that a Savior has been born for all people, and the sign for them to look for so that they know that these words are true is a mom and a dad staying in a stable and placing their newborn child in a feeding trough. That's a pretty specific and incredible sign. And here are Mary and Joseph, tired and weary from travel and childbirth, and somehow they respond so graciously to these shepherd strangers. Scripture says that Mary treasures the words of the shepherds and ponders them in her heart. She tries to memorize all that has happened so that she can return to this moment in her mind and heart for the rest of her life. Friends, the Holy Family reminds us that yet another faithful response to God is taking the time to breathe, to value, to treasure each moment in life and the people around us. So today, if you find yourself in a Holy Family season of life, I pray that even in the midst of busy schedules, overwhelming tasks, responsibilities, and expectations, that you would be quieted and settled by the love of God. Remember, it's a love that can and will change you. A love that will not leave you where you are, but will call you to respond by seeing and appreciating the people in the world around you, so much so that you will treasure each moment as a gift. Church, as we consider this Christmas story of hope and joy and peace and love, I want to invite you even in these moments to take a look around you, to consider not only those who are sitting next to you right now, but those whom you will see when you leave this place. Notice the shepherds. Pay attention to the angels and the holy families all present around you. Remember that God sent his only Son to offer grace and salvation to each and every one of us so that in every season of life, when the good news of God's love for all people becomes known, we are resolved, we are determined, we are ready to respond with the urgent faith of a shepherd, the overwhelming joy of an angel, the quiet grace of a new mother simply trying to take it all in. This day, may you know and be changed by the love of this God who reaches out to save us all. Amen.